Blog Talk Radio.
Celebrating Turkey Day, but I'll just leave that there. I know many of us, still hold on to some of those days. Nevertheless, I greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. Let me open up your mics. Shalom. Shalom, my sisters.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Shalom. Sister Mary. Shalom, Sister Rachel. And let me open up Sister Denise's mic. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
I pray all is well with everyone.
All is well, brother.
Amen. 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 I've been out in this yard all day, and you don't know, I sat down. I sent out the invite for the meeting, and then something in my head said, you ought to go lay down. But I forgot about it. I had scheduled the meeting. Just that quick. Seriously, 5-10 minutes ago, I was about to go lay down. I was like, wait a minute. It's Thursday. Oh, business meeting. The yard put a hurting on me today. Nevertheless, we are moving right along with the hydroponics, and I'm waiting for some final things to come in so I can actually start growing some sprouts to put in there in the hydroponics. I started to put a tomato plant. I said, no, I'm going to actually put the tomato plant in the garden. I've been taping this stuff, so I will, as soon as I get time, I will upload the tape, you know, so you can see the progress we've made and, you know, some tidbits, tips and stuff that I've been learning along the way. The microgreens really seem like they're really going to be a good, you know, a good way to go. But I still want to grow some plants to full, to maturity as well. And so I picked some strawberries, a strawberry plant that I wanted to, I love strawberries. So I said, you know, this is the time of year for them. But they don't usually give you anything for about a year. They won't usually produce anything until the spring. But they'll take right now, here in Arizona at least, because it's not in the middle of the summer and it's not going to burn them up. The same way with the tomatoes. So I will go out and prepare the dirt tomorrow and plant them. I have some that were already sprouted. I'm going to plant those. It's like three plants. And that's all I think I'm going to put in the dirt. The rest I'm going to do hydroponically just to teach myself that technology and make sure I can get the solutions right, so forth and so on. But I will, as I'm taping it, like I said, the tapes that I have done, I will try to upload them by this weekend, so that you have something to look at least. And then for those of you who are going to try doing the microgreens, it can be starting off, it can be fairly cheap, but it can be fairly expensive too. Just depends upon which route you go. Anyway, it's good to hear all your voices today, and let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. As a matter of fact, let me call this meeting to order. So I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second.
Amen.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. Let us do our statement of faith. And we are still talking about this evening prohibited conduct of covenant fellowship partners, those who are associated with this ministry, who are members of this congregation. There's an accepted standard of conduct, and we are still going through that. Okay, our statement of faith. I believe that, let me have you ladies to cover your heads. And then anybody, if you are in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, whether you're in North America, South America, the African continent, or the European theater, or now the Asian continent in Japan, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. The other ladies to cover their head, any man listening, uncover your head. Turn toward the east, the direction that the sun comes up. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just praise your mighty name, Father. We glorify you and lift you up. We magnify your name. You are our Elohim. You are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And to another, we will not bow ourselves, Father, but we will glorify you, honor you, and lift you up. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. We honor you on this day, and we keep your word, and we are holy before you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. We are in accepted the prohibited conduct of covenant fellowship partners. People who are, as I said, members of the ministry, people who are members of this body, and then also, you know, this is what we want to promote, you know, because we should be living clean and holy lives. So there's certain behavior that's just not acceptable, and the Most High says, you know, we ought not put up with it. So let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. And we're going to get verses 21 through 32. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The two sisters, are you there? Make sure we're all on the same page. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 32. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore Elohim also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who change the truth of Elohim into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen and amen. For this cause, Elohim gave them up unto vile affections, for their own women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, we covered this on last week, and so really this is really covering anybody who is practicing immoral sex, sex not in accordance with the scripture. You know, whether it's man and man, woman and woman, whether it is outside of marriage, whether it is any type of perversion, you know, and a lot of things that the world teaches us, we accept it as it's the norm, but really the Most High never said your mouth was supposed to go a certain place. And so I'm not going to even bring up the acts, but understand that those things as defined by even the law of the land are considered, you know, when we say sodomite, that's not just anal sex. That includes oral sex. That includes sex with animals. And so, you know, when we hear sodomite, we just sort of think about, you know, two gay people. But it also covers things that people are commonly doing today in the bedroom. And the Most High, you know, by law and by definition, these other acts fall up under there. So we don't want to be practicing any of those things. Now, I'm not going peeping in nobody's room, in their window or anything. We want to understand that these things are not acceptable by the Most High. And so no matter what the world says, you know, a lot of times we are in the world and then we learned our behaviors from the world. And then when we come into the body, we bring those same behaviors with us. And because they are not together all unpleasant, we don't want to let them go. But you have to let them go because the Most High is calling you to a higher level, a higher standard. Without natural affection. That means that, you know, this individual doesn't really care about anyone. They can perpetrate that they care, but in truth, they really don't care. They really don't have any natural affection. They'll show affection to you if you show affection to them, but then it doesn't really come natural for them. You can't just love somebody because they need to be loved. There has to be a reason there. There has to be a motivation for them. Disobedient to parents. Now, as I said before, as we went through the old covenant, there's only two individuals the Most High said to fear. He said, fear him and fear your parents. And so to be disobedient to your parents, the law calls for the death of that child. That's what it calls for. So he says here, he's saying it again here, and I'm, wow, I just caught this, really. He said, disobedient to parents. But then he comes down, go down to verse 32. So let's read this. Let's read verse 30. And when you have it, say amen. And then we're going to jump down to 32. Backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Skip 31. Go down to 32. who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of what?
Death.
So the law, he didn't change this. Now, we're reading in the New Testament. He didn't change this. This is what I'm telling people. He didn't change a lot of things up under this covenant, the new covenant. So your child and everybody in the world is supposed to know that if a child is disobedient to their parents, the Most High says that they deserve what?
Death.
That's not Brother Miles saying that. And people, you know, people, when I say this stuff, people think it's me saying it. They think it's my interpretation. I said, no, you need to go back and read the book because, you know, we're having all kind of problems with our children.
Amen.
And the problem is that we got away from the word of the Most High. And we're trying to raise them like the world says to raise them. And so the Most High himself says that being disobedient to your parent, you are worthy of death. So, you know, we expect, you know, if they are haters of Elohim, excuse me, they're worthy of death. We can accept if somebody's despiteful, you know, we might say, well, maybe, you know, proud, huh? Maybe they brag some, boasters. Those people who invent evil things, you know, and you got all kind of sex toys out there. People just inventing them left and right, whatever somebody can imagine. And we got, you know, the saints, their children, you know, if they're grown, going to buy these toys. If they are without a partner, well, I need something to keep me satisfied and good grief. But the Most High says, if the inventor of the evil things is worthy of death, don't you think that the person that uses it, that participates in it, that they're not going to be worthy of the same death? They will be.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so we got to understand now, again, these are not my words. But somehow when we bring these things out, because we are just so corrupt and we're so gone down and doing so many different things you know, we want to be accepted. We want those things to be accepted. And the Most High is telling us no. So he says that when we practice these things, even fornication, sex outside of marriage, he says that we have a reprobate mind. Go back to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. So I'm going to say it this way, and I'm going to repeat this, and I want you to repeat it as well, because we need to understand. These are the things the Most High says are worthy of death. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So everybody that we're reading about in here, anybody that's doing these things, he says, they are worthy of death. That is the sentence. Fornication, having sex outside of marriage. This is the norm today. People get into relationships, and some of the relationships start off sexually. And they got no intent of getting married. This is just the satisfaction of the flesh. Sister, you sure are hot. Or brother, you sure are buff. Whatever it is, we got men on the hunt, and we got women on the hunt. And they are coming together, having sex, and a lot of times it's not even in the relationship. So sometimes just a one-night stand. Met at the club that night, hooked up, and that's that. Most High says you're worthy of death. Doing any type of wickedness, anything that is going to bring harm to somebody, that's going to cause somebody to sin, just being evil. Covetedness, wanting something that ain't yours. That the Most High hasn't given you. He says you're worthy of death. Being malicious, trying to hurt somebody in such a way that you are going out of your way to cause them harm. Being malicious. Full of envy. Wanting to be someone. Not only have what they have, but now you want to be them. Want to be like them. Envying what they have. Envying who they are. Envying how they might portray themselves in a worldly way. Now notice he doesn't say kill here. He says what? Murder. And murder is to take somebody's life unjustly. There's a time for everything. There's a time to kill. And when you're killing, depending upon the way that it's done, we're not going to talk about accidental killing somebody, the accident flying off. But when the Most High says it's time to go to war, he didn't consider that murder. Somebody's breaking into your house and they're threatening your family and you kill them. That's not murder. That's justly taking a life. They threatened yours, you took theirs. Even in the scriptures, if somebody accidentally kills someone and they don't make it to the safe place and the avenger for that family or the avenger of blood catches them, they can kill them and it's not murder. It is a justified taking of the life according to the Most High. Even though they're innocent, even though they did it by accident. He says blood is supposed to be avenged with blood. And the only blood that can wipe out the taking of blood from somebody is the person who took the blood, their blood being shed. That's the only thing that cancels that out. And if somebody don't agree with that, you got to take it up with the Most High. Being deceitful, trying to deceive somebody or deceiving someone, tricking them into thinking something so that you can profit or gain by it, lying to them. Malignity. Let's look this word up. Malignity. The Webster's definition of malignity is extreme enmity or hatred. Evil disposition of heart toward another. Malice without provocation. Malevolence with baseness of heart. Deep-rooted spite. So I guess the simplest words, at least for me, to remember this by is to have evil dispositions of the heart extreme hatred. You know how you hear some people who are prejudiced and they hate somebody just because of the color of their skin, but they don't really have any other reason to hate them?
Right.
Just because you don't look like me. I really hate you and would rather see you dead than anything else. That kind of hatred. No cause. Never done anything for them. Never done anything to them. So somebody can say, well, somebody gave me cause to feel that way about them. But the Most High says, no, if you are my people, then you're even supposed to love who? Your enemies. So you should not find this in any of the saints. Extreme hatred. You got some people that feel like, the white race has done us so much harm that they hate them. My grandfather was like that. My grandfather was mulatto. He was half white, half black. And he hated white people for the way that they treated him. I'm talking about with an extreme hatred. Whisperers. people who be talking behind people's backs, who be talking secretly, you know, not open with their communications. Worthy of death. See, we got to watch ourselves, don't we?
Yeah.
We whisper about this brother or whisper about this sister. You know, say something about them that we don't want them to hear. But the Most High says whisperers are worthy of death. Yeah. And those people that pretend to be your friends, but they're not. They are backbiters. In your face, they're all smiles and everything else, but as soon as you turn your back, they're against you. He said they're worthy of death. The Most High don't like any type of what? Deceit. He don't like it. He don't like people that debate for the sake of debating. Says they're worthy of what?
Yeah.
Death. People who like to argue for the sake of arguing. Who are debating. You know, it's one thing to debate, to convince somebody and convert them. It's another thing just to argue for the sake of arguing. You're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change yours. We're just going to argue this matter and argue it and argue it and argue it. Debate it, debate it, debate it for no reason. Most I doesn't like that. Haters of Elohim. Who are the haters of Elohim? Well, let me just put it to you plainly. Anybody that doesn't obey his statutes, law, his commandments, and his judgments.
Amen.
That's the basic definition. Because if you love me, you'll do what?
Keep my commandments.
You'll keep them. You'll hear my voice. You will obey. You'll keep my judgments. You'll keep my statutes. You'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my ordinances. All that I have said, you will do. And if you don't, then you are my adversary. You hate me. Now, he says that himself, that if you don't keep it, you hate him. So these are the ones that love me, those that obey my voice. These are the ones that hate me, those that don't. It ain't no in between. He didn't give an in-between.
No.
So I can't put there what he hasn't put there. Can't make up something and say, well, you know, if you're trying. No, you have to be, that's why I said you have to be committed to the Most High.
And he says, 100.
What, how much of you? All
100.
Of you. 100. You can't give him part of you. He don't give an option to give part of you to him. Nowhere in the scripture will you find where he says, well, if you give me 99%, that's good enough. He's everywhere where he says what he wants. He says, I want all. So you have to be all in. If you're not all in, you might as well be all out.
Man.
It's just that simple. That, you know, yeah. I was talking to a pastor this weekend, and I think he finally understood what the Most I had me teaching and why he has me teaching this. And, you know, I had to tell him, say, hey, you got to take the play out of this. You got to take the reasons that people use to fall short out of it. Because falling short is not an option.
Nope.
It's not an option. The Most High says, you either all in or you all out. And he says, the only time I'm not going to judge you harshly is if you're doing something ignorantly. You just don't know. Other than that, the judgment is not good. So, haters of him, those that say they love him but don't keep his commandments. Now, if you told the average quote-unquote church person that, they would think that you're stupid. But then, you know, I have to go back and show them. I said, who are you worshiping? Because this is what the Elohim of the Bible says. He says, if you love me, I said, even Messiah said, how can you say you love me and keep not my commandments? I said, the Elohim of the Bible said, if you love me, he says, I love those that love me. How do you show that you love me? Keep my commandments. I said, so how are you going to say you're not up under a law? How are you going to break the commandments and say you love him? You don't love him. You just say you love him. Because your actions don't show it. Your actions don't prove it. Despiteful. Just doing stuff just because, and in a hateful way. Why did you trip that person? I just don't like them. Why did you say something bad about them when they ain't said nothing to you? Because I just can't stand them. Even to the point that a lot of times they'll become false witnesses, make up something against somebody just to make them appear to be in a bad light. Then if you're proud, you know, you're puffed up, you're all that in a bag of chips, can't humble yourself, can't accept chastisement because you're better than everybody else. And how dare you? And who are you to tell me? Proud. Most High says, you deserve death. I mean, we got a lot of things in here that a lot of people do and are guilty of, but they don't think it's worthy of what?
Death.
Yeah. They don't think so. But what the Most High says is worthy of death. Boasters. Somebody that brags. You know, I'm this good. I keep this many laws. I fast. I'm not like this publican over here. I'm not like this person that works at Walmart. Or I'm not like this person that works for the IRS or... I'm not like whomever. Try to make ourselves appear to be bigger than, larger than, better than. We've already talked about inventors of evil things. And I only talked about one because one of the biggest ones today is just in the realm of sexual toys, period. And people are partaking of these things, and especially the ladies who are without a man. The world is just full of this stuff. Disobedient to parents. You know, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Because we got the world telling us that, you know, you shouldn't even discipline your child. If you do any type of corporate discipline, then it's child abuse. You know, and I do believe that there's a such thing as child abuse.
I do too.
Yeah. I believe that you can go about things, discipline and punishment the wrong way and become very abusive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to know how to discipline. You have to know the difference between discipline and punishment. And a lot of times people think the two words are the same, but they're not. So discipline is designed to correct. Punishment is designed to punish. I'm not trying to correct you now. I want you to feel this. Maybe you'll open up your other ears. But if I send you to your room and tell you to think about it, if I say you're going to do these chores because of your behavior, and while you're doing these chores, I want you to think about your actions. That's discipline. I want you to work on things this way. But then the punishment, oh, no, I'm about to go get the belt. Go get that switch off that tree. Because what you have done deserves a punishment. And there's a difference. So, as I said, a lot of times people confuse the two, and they mix them both together. But your discipline should be designed to correct the behavior. Beating somebody ain't going to always correct the behavior. Sometimes it'll make it worse. What motivates that individual? What motivates that child? Maybe they don't like being alone. So you can say, okay, then go to your room. You didn't beat them, but it was worse because they absolutely don't like being by themselves until they get hip to it. So as somebody grows, as they mature, then you have to find different, you have to find other ways to discipline them. But punishment is always the same. And so you can't punish somebody, you know, they may not do it around you, but you didn't change the behavior. And what you want to do with discipline is change the behavior. Without understanding, wait a minute, think about that. Without understanding, you are worthy of death. See, it's just, it's amazing.
It
because
is.
You got a lot of people that don't understand. And a lot of people, the Most High makes them to not understand. And this is what a lot of people don't get. You know, we read it in, you know, Messiah said, when his disciples said, why do you talk to them in parables? How come you just won't say it plainly to them? And Messiah himself said it was not given to them to understand it, which means that he thinks they're worthy of death. Because he says that hearing, they might hear and understand and be what? Converted. And I don't want them to be converted because I've already determined that they're wicked. Can we hear that?
That.
You know, because, you know, this is not what's normally taught. What's normally taught is Messiah wants everybody to come back. Messiah wants, he loves everybody. And he came and died for everybody. He died for all those that he called. And that he would call
Amen.
In the future.
Amen.
And so we got to understand that people not being able to understand this word, the Most High says they're worthy of death. He has proclaimed this. So where do they get that the Elohim we serve is soft, that he's all loving, he's all kind. He, you know, all I got to do is say I'm sorry and I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
All I can believe what I want to believe. You can believe what you want to believe and be in misunderstanding and be what? Worthy of death.
Worthy of death.
This is not anything to play with.
Nope.
And, you know, people don't even take these verses seriously and don't understand that if they don't understand, they are worthy of death. Well, how am I worthy of death if I don't understand? You have to take that up with the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the first thing they'll tell me is, you condemning people. Look, brother, sister, you read it in black and white just like I am. Why is it that you can't understand it, that he's saying you're worthy of death? I have to put it back on them. Because I believe every word.
Every word.
Every word.
Most Sinai gives understanding. That's one of our statements of faith. Holy men being inspired of the Most High.
Amen.
It is he that gives the understanding. It is he that gives clarity. And so a lot of people read these verses and read right over this stuff and just, it don't even register. Covenant breakers. Come into relationship with the Most High. Say you agree to the terms and then don't keep the terms. You are worthy of death. So we can't enter into covenant with him and then break the covenant. Because he's already telling us. If we break the covenant, we are worthy of death. And this is going to be his judgment. So when he says you're worthy of death, he's not saying that, oh, yeah, you're worthy of it, but I'm going to forgive you. Because that's where people would take that. He's going to judge this way. Without natural affection. We talked about that one. Implacable. I believe this one is like, can't be satisfied. But let's make sure. Implacable, not to be appeased, that cannot be pacified or rendered peaceable. Inexorable, stubborn, constant in hatred. So this person just can't be satisfied. Didn't use that word, but to be appeased is to be satisfied with the outcome of a situation. So you might, you know, get in an argument and somebody does something to offend you, says something to offend you, and they come back and apologize to you, and no matter what they say, their apology just ain't good enough. They cannot appease you. They cannot satisfy you. Why? Because you don't really want to be satisfied by them. You want to stay in that place with them. No, I'm mad at you and I want to stay mad at you. I don't really care what you say. I ain't trying to hear what you say. Most of it says if you do that kind of stuff, then you are worthy of death. Unmerciful. Unable to show mercy. Unable to put yourself in that person's shoes and say, okay, let me look at the situation from their eyesight. Unmerciful means that you know the person is guilty, but you don't want to show no type of I can't think of another word, but you don't want to give them no mercy. See, when we are guilty of something, if we go to the court, so I think I can put this a better way. We go to the court and we know we're guilty. We ask the court to do what? Have mercy.
Have mercy.
And what does that mean? I know I'm guilty. Please don't give me the full extent of the sentence. Be merciful. So if it calls for 6 months in jail and he gives you 3, was he merciful?
Yes, he was.
If he give you seven and it calls for six, was he merciful?
No, he wasn't.
No. He was trying to hurt you. So that's what mercy means, being merciful. Not giving somebody the full extent of what they deserve. And you know they're guilty. But I'm not going to give you the full extent of what this crime calls for. So it could be relationship-wise. Yeah, what you did, I typically will break up with you and would have nothing else to do with you. But I'm willing, you know, if you're willing to make amends and to do certain things to show me that you are serious about this relationship, I'm willing to have some mercy. I'm willing to forgive. But then, you know, if I'm not feeling merciful, no, this thing is over. You need to kick rocks. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. That's being unmerciful. Everybody that does these things, the Most High says that they are worthy of death. Not Brother Miles. Because people get offended, you know, just when I teach this stuff. They get offended. And I'm like, how are you getting offended at the messenger? So who you really mad at is the Most High. This is his word. And you want to take it out on me. But we got to understand that this type of behavior, the Most High says, this is all this behavior is not tolerated. And we don't want to practice that, and we don't want it to be part of the way that the members of the body act. And the only way they're going to not be this way, a lot of them, is to know what the book says concerning it. Brother, do you know what you're doing is death? Are you going to kill me? Brother, the Most High says that if you do these things, you are worthy of death. Now, if he brings it about, I'm just trying to help you live a righteous life and get out of his crosshairs. Because that stray bullet that was shot in the air and comes out on top of your head and kills you, and everybody wonder, why did he die? Man, that was an accident. That's just a shame. No, it wasn't an accident. The Most High made it happen. So we need to understand. The Most High says his judgment is anybody that does these things is worthy of death. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Any questions in this area? In these scriptures?
No.
All right, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Amen.
It gets verses 1 through 5.
Amen.
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 Therefore, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place myself. I need to amen myself again. You know what's up? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as so much as name women. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. So we're saying, hey, the Gentiles don't even do this, what we're about to talk about. That one should have his father's wife. So this is a stepson sleeping with his father's wife. Or this could be an actual son and mother doing this. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken from among you. Said, hey, you got this going on, this person shouldn't be where?
Among you.
He shouldn't be among you. You shouldn't be knowing that this has gone on or is going on and then be like, oh, well, you need to repent. You need to say you're sorry. This is one of those things that this person and persons need to be what? Put out.
Put out.
Okay. He says, and you are puffed up. They are bragging about it. And have not rather mourned. You should be mourning. You should be sorry. You should be furiated. This is a sad day that you should find out that some son, stepson or not, is sleeping with his mother. For verily, as absent in the body, now he's talking about himself now, though I'm absent, I'm not there with you, I'm absent in the body, but I'm present there in the spirit, have judged already. I have already judged this matter, and I ain't even there. As though I were what?
Present.
Concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of Yeshua, to deliver such as one unto Satan, for what? The destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yeshua. This means that this person was really supposed to die for the destruction of the flesh. You kill the flesh, what's going to happen to anything else?
He's going to die.
Your glory is not good. You guys, they are what? Glorifying this thing. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Now, this is some sure enough leaven here. Purge out, therefore, that old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Cut that person, not just him, but even her, off. You got to go. Can't be around here. Because, see, one of the things that we will find, the Most High called for death in Torah for these things. In the New Testament, he's telling us we put them away. We cut them off. You can't belong to your people anymore. You can't be part of us. You are as though you are what? Dead. Because you doing this stuff probably got somebody else's mom in eyes. So we need to put both of you out. Purge out, therefore, that old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, in a letter, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world. Okay, so what is he saying here? I told you not to hang around fornicators. But I wasn't just talking about fornicators in this world, because the world is doing this stuff. I'm talking about people who are saying that they're one of us. Hold on just a minute. Verse 10 again. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now I am writing unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. So we don't want to keep company with those people in the world. But you got a brother among you, or a sister, who's fornicating? We're not supposed to keep company with them. Who are covetous, we're not supposed to keep company with them. Or worship idols. And this other idolater, this word has two meanings, to worship false gods, but also to be lazy. Don't want to do the work. They're idle. That's another definition for this word. It's not just idol worship, but it's those people who are actually lazy. That's an idolater too. A railer, somebody that loves to fight. Don't keep company with them. They're walking around looking for just somebody to get into a fight with. A drunkard, we all have a pretty good definition of who that is. So you can have some functional alcoholics. You know, during the week, they don't drink. Friday come, they just get stinking drunk. Stay that way till Sunday. Monday morning, they're ready to go back to work. But while they're drunk, they're saying and doing some things they ought not say and what do. Beating the wife, abusing the kids, want to fight the brethren. Come Monday, completely different person. So we look at that drunkard as somebody that's, you know, on the side of the street, you know, and they got the sign out. They're passed out on the park bench or whatever. And we say, oh, look at that drunkard. But you got some functional drunkards. And this stuff needs to be called out. An extortioner. Somebody who's going to say, I know something about you. And if you don't give me X amount of money, or if it's one of the sisters, if you don't sleep with me, I'm going to tell it. That's an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. Don't even eat with them. You know, it as when we go through the law, we'll come up to the scriptures where it tells us there's a lot of different things that fall into these areas. And if you are a saint, you are supposed to be above board. You're supposed to be doing what? Right. Doing right is being what? Righteous. And so we shouldn't be practicing, you know, getting drunk all the time. Even, you know, you get drunk on Friday. Friday's the Shabbat, but you just got paid Friday night. Stopping by the bar. Stopping by the strip club. Come home with half your check if none of it. Drunk as a skunk. And we got people just doing all kind of just mess. And it's not just men. Because alcohol is a serious thing. I grew up in a house with an alcoholic. And I know that spirit well. And I prayed to the Most High my whole life, please don't let me inherit that gene.
I did too.
And it didn't get me, got my brother. I'm sorry, my sister. What'd you say?
I said, I did too. I grew up with an alcoholic parent.
Yeah, that is something else. So, you know, I prayed I didn't get that spirit. I didn't get that gene. I didn't get it. And I, you know, I used to drink like a fish when I was younger, especially when I was coming out of my first marriage. And, you know, just the trauma of all that, I was drinking like a fish. But I never really let it control me. And when it was, you know, when it was time, it just had to go. Like, oh, I'm done with that. But I let it go with the cigarettes. I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, and stopped smoking weed all at the same time.
Mm.
All at the same time.
Just that, I didn't like the way it made me feel. That I didn't like that feeling.
I never liked the feeling either. That didn't stop me from doing it.
I didn't do it no
I didn't,
more.
I did not like the way alcohol made me feel. I would have rather smoke weed. If I was going to do something, I would have rather smoke weed. But the most I said, I had to give them all up. So I gave them all up at the same time. Smoking weed, smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, all at the same time. Haven't been back in touch, none of them. And it's over 30 years now.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, the hardest one to give up was the cigarettes. Just like that thing had a hold on me like nothing else. Didn't want to smoke no more and couldn't stop. But I didn't love me enough. I had to identify it. I don't love me enough to quit. So let me make a promise to the Most High. Because I know I believe he is, and I would not want to make a promise to him and don't keep it. A matter of fact, I made a promise to the Most High and didn't keep it, and he gave me cancer. Told me it wasn't going to kill me, but I still got the cancer. And trust me, you say cancer to anybody, that's like a death sentence. First thing we think about, I'm going to die. But the Most High said, no, it's not going to kill you. But he sure got my attention.
Right.
So when it came to making a promise to him again, do you think that I would take making a promise to him lightly?
Uh-uh.
No, because I'm like, I don't want you to kill me. So I couldn't stop smoking. I said, if I make a promise to the Most High, I know I'm not going to break that. I just said, if you let me go 3 days, without taking a puff off a cigarette, I'll never go back. Put me on the patch. 3 days later, I woke up and the patch was off. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to smoke anyway, so I don't need these patches anymore either. It was like a 30-day program. I did 3 days and never went back. Never did a patch. Never went back to smoking a cigarette. And that's because of the promise I made to him. That's why I said, if there's anything that you are struggling with, you want to quit, if you really fear the Most High and you want to be pleasing to him and you don't want to break a promise, promise him you will quit. You'll stop whatever that is. That should be enough to keep you. At least I pray it is. It was enough to keep me. So if we find anybody doing any of these things, we're not to keep company with them. We could easily find ourselves in one of these, especially if we're not converted, especially if we're still in our mess. Find ourselves being one of these. So, you know, we want to be and go by the word of the Most High. Verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without or outside? Do not you judge them that are within. See, people always say, don't judge me. You can't judge me, but we're supposed to judge those that are within. And if we find them doing these types of things, he says to do what with them? Turn them over to Satan. You got to get out of here. You're going out there with those other people that do that stuff. But you can't do it around here. we don't really be wanting to hear that. You can't judge me. We're supposed to judge. Do you not judge them that are within? He's asking a question. And the question is, yes, we're supposed to judge those that are within. We're not supposed to take our business outside to who? The worldly system. So if I got an op with my brother or my sister, then I'm supposed to take and go to the elders, to the priesthood, and get that and get a judgment on it. And whatever they say, that's how we abide by. We don't take it to the outside. And he says that if you do that, if you have a matter, a problem with your brother or your sister, something that's court-worthy, and you take it to the priest and to the judges that are been established, and then you don't want to abide by the judgment, what does he say you're worthy of? It don't change. You're worthy of death.
I'm just talking in my own mute.
Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, you're worthy of death if you want to abide by the judgment.
Now,
you're taking it to the holy men and the judges of the people, and they say, hey, this is what how we rule, and you don't like the judgment, he says you are to comply with every single bit of it. And if you don't want to and if you don't do it, then he says, then you're supposed to die. Verse 13, you put them out because them that are without, who judges?
Without them that without Yah.
No, read that again.
Who's doing the judging?
Yeah, if you put, if the what this chapter is talking about, if you have a brother or a sister who's unruly, who are doing these things, he says to put them out, turn them over to Satan. Okay, let's read verse 12 and 13 again. Then I ask the question over. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? That's a question, right?
Right.
Do not you judge them that are within? That's another question. The truth of the matter is we're supposed to judge those that are within. We don't judge the world. We can tell the world you're sinners. But if you got a brother or a sister that's acting this way, they're supposed to be up under discipline. And they're supposed to be up under judgment. He says, but them that are without, who judges? Those that are outside of us, who's going to judge them?
The Father.
There you go. He says, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So that who can judge them?
The Father.
Amen. Put them out. So that the Most High can judge them. You turn them over to Satan, but the Most High says he's judging the ones that are outside of the group. Who's supposed to maintain the order? We are. We have a set of rules. We have a set of protocols that we're supposed to go by. If your brother have an odd against you, he says, do what? Go to your brother and settle it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if your brother won't hear you, then you go and get two or three elders from the church. And if they still won't hear you, he says, then you put them out. That's the order. And if you put them out, because we're supposed to be judging internally, Elohim will judge them who are outside the group. This is what this chapter is saying. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Why? So that Elohim can judge them. Galatians chapter 5. So we don't want to be doing any of these things, especially We don't want to put up with these things, especially if you call yourself a brother or a sister. We expect the world to be acting this way. We don't expect each other to be acting this way. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. And when you have this, say amen.
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 Amen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you are walking in the Spirit of the Most High, if you are keeping His statutes, His laws, His commandments, His judgments before you, you're not going to walk in the lust of the flesh. Because those things should keep you away from that. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. They oppose each other, your flesh and the Spirit of the Most High, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you're struggling with your flesh and your flesh is always winning, then I'm going to say to you, you probably got a spirit problem. It's the lack of the Spirit of the Most High. Because if your flesh is always winning, then you're always giving in to your flesh. It says that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, what does that mean? If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The only time that you bring yourself up under the law is when you break the law. Let me say that again. The only time that you bring yourself up under the law and are subject to the law is when you break the law. The law was given to us to do what? For one purpose. Well, two purposes. Bring us to Messiah. We already come to Him. But what's the other purpose? To show us what? Sin. And so if you understand the law, if you know right from wrong, and you are walking in the Spirit, then you're not going to what? Sin.
Yeah.
You're not going to transgress. And you should not transgress, especially knowing that transgression really brings about what? Death.
Yeah.
And you may not see it immediately today, but the Most High says, when I wake you up, you're going to see it. When I wake you up and send you to that lake, you're going to see it. You might have thought you got away. That's why he says, some of y'all think I'm slack. You think that you know, I'm lazy. That, you know, I'm not going to bring about judgment. Hold your finger there, because we got to go through verse 21 in here, but I want to go someplace for just a second. First, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. keep your finger there in Galatians. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And let's start in verse 7. When you all have it, say amen. Thank you for my sister who already acknowledged. All right, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 7. And Yah did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because Yah loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has Yah brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Yah thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that who?
Love him.
And?
And keep his commandments.
To a thousand generations. And what does he do to those people who don't? And repayeth them that they, what
hate
they
him.
Do?
That
to
hate
their
him
face.
To his face.
He says, you don't keep my commandments, you hate me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to repay you to your face. To destroy them. He will not be what?
Marked. I mean, he will not be slapped.
I'm not going
to
be slapped
that hate
to him,
him
that hates. He will repay him to his face.
Yeah.
Okay. Because people now, back here, the judgment was coming very quickly. Israel mess up, judgment come right then. You messed up under the law, two or three witnesses, they executed the law immediately. Let's go to 2 Peter. Because this is the only reason why we don't see judgment right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And let's start in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This second epistle, the second letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of Yah and our Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, people who scoff at the word, walking after their own lust, making up stuff, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yah keeps saying he's coming. He keeps saying this thing going to happen, but we ain't seen it yet. Everybody's still being born and dying just like they were from the beginning. That's what people be saying. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Elohim the heavens were of old, and the earth, and standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with the water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. So he's simply saying, hey, in the beginning, this earth was underwater. The land was where? Underwater. And the waters overflowed the boundaries of all the continents. Everything was underwater. And then by the word of Yah, when Yah said, let there be earth, let it come forth, then by his word now, the same word keeps the what? The seas and the oceans back from covering all the land. He said, so they forget that it's the same word that caused the world to be in a flood condition before he called the earth out of the water. And it's the same word that keeps the earth from being overflooded. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire. So it's not going to be destroyed by water again. It's going to be destroyed by what?
Fire.
Fire.
Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yah as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word or toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, when is the judgment going to come? But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. This atmosphere is going to leave this planet. Bam! And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening and hurrying unto the coming of the day of Yah, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, not wickedness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and what? Blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Master is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They wrestle with it, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. See, when they are unlearned, they don't understand, they are also unstable, double-minded, can do, you know, say one thing to another. The scriptures for them are hard to understand, especially with Paul, because see, they believe what Paul is saying, the Most High is all merciful. They believe that Paul is saying that the Most High is going to forgive everything. They believe Paul is saying all you got to do is confess your sin, and he is true and just to forgive you all your sin, no matter what it is, if it's ignorant or if it's willful. It's hard for them to understand it, but the Most High makes it clear. Yet before, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also being led away with error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Master and Savior Yeshua HaMashiach. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The verse that I wanted to pull out of there was in verse 9. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. So they think because judgment ain't coming immediately, they think that because, you know, they didn't fall dead, the earth didn't open up and swallow them up, they didn't get burnt to a crisp, that Yah is not going to judge. But he has appointed a time, because he wants all men to have the chance to do what?
Repent.
To repent. That's why when we understand, when you come to Messiah, you had your chance at repentance. You repented when you came to him, or were supposed to have. Now you got to apply. You got to comply by the rules that the Most High put in place. He didn't say, "Hey, continue to sin." Shall we continue in sin? Elohim forbid. Should our faith cancel the law? Since our faith does not cancel the law, Elohim forbid that your faith should cancel the law. So, the Most High said, this is the grace period. But don't think that you're going to run ruckshot all over me. Don't think that what you're doing, you're getting away with. I've appointed a day for this. And so we have to all be very careful. We have to all be very fearful. And don't take this thing lightly. I got time. Your time may have already ran out. You just don't know it. That's how fearful we need to be. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Because I want to understand that. The Most High is not slack. He wasn't slack in Torah. It came immediately. He says, now I've appointed a time. And y'all might think I'm slack, as you consider slackness. He says, but I'm just giving y'all time. I'm giving time for everybody that I have called to repent. And since he's outside of time, generations don't mean anything to him. He just knows that there's a time that he has appointed. And when that time is up, it's a done deal. It's a wrap. Okay. And we were in, we were about verse 17 or 18, I believe. Actually, we start in verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. We should be back there now. Man. Now, the works of the flesh, thank you, my sister, are manifest. The works of the flesh appear, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. Not going to inherit it. Every place else we read, it says that they're worthy of death. That death that it's talking about, it's not really talking about this physical death, even though that's supposed to be the first one. It's talking about the death in the lake of fire. That horrifying death that you are awake for, you not sleep for. And you feel that fire and you feel that burning. He says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we want to be mindful not to do these things, mindful not to fall into any of them. It says you can't inherit the kingdom if you do, me, you, or anybody else. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you. Ephesians, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. This is what you want to be. Be ye therefore followers of Elohim, as what? Dear children. That's why I say, if you know that the Most High has accepted you, he has filled you with his spirit, he has begotten you, then you should not, you should esteem your what? Your birthright. You should esteem that you're a child of the Most High. That should be special to you. That alone should make you not want to sin. That alone should keep you from sinning because you know who you are. You know what you are. You know who you represent. You know how he's going to judge. And he's not a respecter if you're his child or not. So you don't be misbehaving. He acts you harder. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet-smelling odor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be how many times named among you?
Once.
Don't let it be named
once.
Let it
be once named among you.
Amen. Don't let it be named once among you as becometh saints. See, because we'll be saying, oh, you know, that brother fell. But he said, don't let it be named how many times?
Once.
Now, if a brother falls or a sister falls and they are truly repentant, we're supposed to restore them. But the goal is, don't let this be named how many times? One more time.
Yeah.
Don't let it be named once among you. That's what you should be shooting for. Nope. Sister, brother come after you. You'd be like, no, brother, what you trying to do? You trying to get us both killed. You trying to get us both sent to the lake. Now you want to do the honorable thing? You want to marry me and do the right thing? I may not be opposed to that. But you just think you can come here and ask me, convince me, trick me into laying with you? And I ain't your wife? How many times should that be named amongst us?
Once.
Not once. All uncleanliness. And this is one, you know, I'm really going to have to dig out for everybody and, you know, just spell this thing out, uncleanliness, because, you know, people, I know people who just think that this is that person, that wicked person. They got an evil mind, an evil heart. No, this uncleanliness, the Most High defines what is clean and what is unclean. And somehow we got to make it something spiritual. And no, the scriptures already deal with those individuals. When he says uncleanliness, he's talking about his cleanliness laws. So we need to dig that out to make sure that, you know, we're not falling into that, because no unclean person shall enter into the kingdom. Or covetous. Let it not be once named among you as becoming saint, as becoming the saint. Neither what? Filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And I know I'm guilty of that one. Which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, and a whoremonger really is a pimp. Okay? Mongering means to sell for. A whoremonger is a man that sells women for sex. Nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim, in the kingdom of Messiah. Let no man deceive you with vain words. You know, you it ain't that serious. The Most High ain't that strict. He understands we're human. Vain words is contrary to what the scripture says. It's contrary to what the Most High says. He says, don't let no man deceive you with those types of words. You ain't got to worry about it. Most High, he's forgiving. He loves us. He ain't going to judge us like that. All you got to do is repent and say you're sorry. These are vain words. And they are said with no understanding. For because of these things cometh the what? Wrath of Elohim upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't let nobody deceive you. Sister, you know, if we lay together, you my wife. Don't matter what nobody else say. We married before the Most High. Vain words. He just slept with you. That's all he did. Mm-hmm. Or else how are you going to tell a fornicator from anyone else? How are you going to tell a fornicator from that slick-mouthed devil that's after you? Brother, we need some witnesses. Brother, we need a ceremony before you get any of this. It needs to be official in somebody's eyes other than yours and mine. Other than that, he just made a whore out of you. Vain words. Verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness. When you were in the world and the world operates this way, that brother come up to you, yo, girl, you sure looking fine. Come on now. Ain't nobody got to know. You know you like me. Telling you whatever he got to tell you. You were sometimes in darkness. You shouldn't be in darkness now. Any brother come talking to you that way, you should know. Brother, you ain't my husband. And if we do this thing, we both go into the lake for a few minutes of pleasure. Mr. Minuteman. For that amount of time. Going to the lake. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in Yah. Walk as children of light. Walk like you know something. Don't be letting, you know, these vain spirits, these deceiving spirits, don't be letting them talk you into stuff that is only going to bring both of you death. And you're trying to justify it and say, oh, well, you know, we live in righteous. The relationship started off what? Unrighteously. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto Yah. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove means to correct them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Whatever causes it to come to the light, whatsoever causes it to be seen, to be known, is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understand what the will of Yah is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get be high off the Most High. Don't let alcohol be your false strength. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yah, giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim and the Father in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Elohim. No, we ain't doing that. I fear the Most High. I fear what he says he's going to do. He's going to do it.
I do too, bro.
And for, as I said, a few minutes of pleasure, you would turn yourself over into the hands of the Most High. How much do you really fear him? Brother, if you fear the Most High, put a ring on it.
Hey.
Just that simple.
Yeah.
And stop trying to get some before you're married. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who?
Unto Christ. Unto the Lord. Unto Yah.
Amen. That's a commandment of the Most High. But see, I know in a lot of ways this is twisted on both from both sides. But as I said, the Most High never commanded the man to make the woman submit. Did he say, husbands, make your wife submit unto you as unto Yah?
No.
He said, why? Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yah. So every woman has to take this on. Every woman that doesn't do this needs to understand that she's in direct violation of the commandment from the Most High. So should you be careful who you get tied up to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Should you make sure that he walking before the Most High?
Yeah.
Before you tie yourself to him. Because once you tie to him, that's your husband.
Until
and you're supposed to submit to him how?
Like you submit to the Father.
Yeah. Amen. It's hard to hear for a lot of people. It's hard to hear for a lot of women. I just put it where it is. Never even if you go to Genesis did the Most High tell Adam to rule over his wife. He told her that he shall rule over you. Submit yourselves to him and he shall rule over you. That means that she's got to accept that. That don't give him the authority to beat her into submission. Why did the Most High say that? Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So the husband is the head of the wife. even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, verse 24, as Christ, as the church is subject unto Christ, we know the church ain't subject unto him, but supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we even got these problems with the women being subject to their husband. Supposed to be. Ain't always, though. So let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. Is that what it says?
No.
With everything.
Say that again, my sister.
In everything.
In everything. Not just what you want to be submissive to him to. Not just what you believe, what he believes in. Not just what you agree with him on. But in what?
Everything.
Now, this is word. Because, you know, we got to, you know, just putting it where it's at. Because we have to have holy relationships. That's why you need to know who you what are marrying.
Mm-hmm.
What manner of man is this that I'm tying myself to? Because he don't say if your husband is following Christ. He said you are, if he's your husband, you are supposed to submit yourself to him in everything. As unto who?
Right.
As unto Christ, as unto the Most High. So let me ask a question. I really wish I could see y'all face. Because, you know, looks tell a lot. But the truth of the matter is, how many of us can really hear this and do it?
Well, I said I did when my husband
Amen.
Was living.
Amen. I just know from in past, especially in larger churches, there'd be a whole lot of murmuring going on right now. A whole lot.
You know, Brother Miles, when you accept this word, you accept it all.
Amen. But a lot of people want to accept it where it's convenient. They can accept
yeah.
that. But where it's not convenient, they be having earthquakes in diverse places. This right here, I know. I've seen fights in the church over these scriptures. Because we were like, uh-uh. Now, the husband got some commandments to him, too. To love his wife as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself for it. But a lot of men don't even understand the love of Christ. Only thing they know is she's supposed to do what I said do. That's the extent of their knowledge. I'm not saying all men, but an awful lot of them. And so they are in need of being taught as well. But each one is responsible. So I can look at a woman in a certain situation and say, okay, is she submitting to her husband? Even if he's wrong, is she in submission? Yeah, okay, then who am I going to blame? I'm not going to blame her. She's doing what she was supposed to do, submit herself in what? everything. So if the things are going wrong, who's the problem?
He is.
Who's responsible? He is.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at those things. If she's doing what she's supposed to do and things are sideways, the problem is not her, it's him. Period. Because she's doing what she's supposed to do. But we'll leave that alone for right now. Go to 1 Thessalonians. And this will be it for tonight. 1 Thessalonians. Just get chapter 4. We'll get verses 1 through 7. When you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort or encourage you by Yeshua HaMashiach that you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, so that you would abound more and more, so that you would grow more and more. So he's saying, I beseech you, brethren, and encourage you by Yeshua that you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, so you would grow more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by Yah, or the Lord Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach. For this is the will of Elohim, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You should know how to possess your own body, how to keep it holy and sanctified in honor. There is a time and a place for everything. There is a will of the Most High that marriage is an honorable thing. Most, I don't hate sex. He designed it for us. But he says you got to do it up under the right circumstances at when it is permissible. And when it's not permissible, you don't do it. You maintain your vessel. You maintain your sanctification. You maintain your honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not Elohim. And this word, concupiscence. This word means to convert or lust after, to desire or covet. Lust unlawfully. See, you can lust after your spouse. Why? Because they're your spouse. You can't lust after somebody that ain't your spouse. I sure would like to be with him, but you ain't married to him. I sure would like to be with her, but you ain't married to her. Matter of fact, she's married to somebody else, or he's married to somebody else too. Not in the lust of unlawful lust. That's what he's saying. Concupiscence. Unlawful lust. It's not right that you should lust after him or her. Even as the Gentiles which know not Elohim, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because Yah is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For Elohim has not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but Elohim, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. if you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, then the Most High is with you wherever you go. And with you whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing something unclean, who's with you?
The Father.
Ten. And to think I chose this one. He's not saying sex is dirty. He's not saying sex is unholy. He says, but when we do those things not in accordance with the guidelines that he has set up, when we don't honor his temple, when we don't think much about him, but everything is about pleasing this body, then we can be unclean and come take part in something, what, holy. And not give it a second thought. I'm in an unclean state, but I'm going to come and worship the Most High. I'm going to present myself to him. No, we can't do those things. Because he therefore that despises not man, but Elohim, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of Elohim to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So he's saying these people in Thessalonica, they have brotherly love one toward another. He said, I don't need to write to you about that because you're doing that. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that are outside, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Well, we won't go into that one because we're going to talk about the dead. Okay, we'll talk about that one in a different setting. So, don't be doing the things that we ought not do. Don't be acting like we not learned, that we don't know, that we don't have no understanding, that we don't believe what is written, that we the exception to the rule. Don't be believing that. Because when you do that, it's not man that you despise. It's the Most High. You make yourself his enemy. And we don't want to condone that behavior amongst ourselves. We don't want to condone that amongst ourselves. Let us bow our heads. Father, we come before you, Father, with open minds and open hearts. Father, understanding that you have a standard that you have established and you expect of your children. You don't want any type of sexual immorality amongst us. You said, let it not be named once. If it happens, then we are to admonish that brother and that sister. If it happens again, then we are to put them away. Father, we don't have the authority to kill them like you would in Torah. But you have said, put them from amongst us. Cut them off from among us. And truthfully, you say, show no mercy. Because they are turned such a one over to who? Satan. Turn such a one over, since they won't hear our judgment, turn them over to you. They don't want us to judge them. You say, turn them over to you and you will judge them. And your penalties are way harsher than ours because your penalties are death.
Ooh.
So if they will not hear us and repent and turn from their ways, we turn them over to you, Father. In your judgment, you have already stated it. And Father, we don't want to walk around like we are getting away with something because we don't see judgment come right away. Fear you, Father, and we know that your judgment, you may not even get us in this lifetime. But when you open up the books that have our works, and our works show that we were corrupt, that your judgment has already been made. So, Father, help us to walk in your ways. Help us to keep your statutes, your laws, your commandments, and your judgments always before us. And let us walk according to them. Let us not have someone, let someone deceive us. That we should walk contrary to you. Let us not have someone who has no understanding teach us. Because then they're teaching us with no understanding. And they will have us walking down a road that only leads to death. Father, you have said that many lack understanding. You have even showed us that it has been your desire and your will that they should not understand. As many as you should call, Father, and that you should open their eyes and their ears. Let them hear your word and understand and fear you. Walk in your truth and walk in your light. And let not their flesh get in the way. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. I make a motion that we call this, that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting in the, this official meeting and reading of the bylaws and the scriptures that concern what conduct is acceptable of the saints, of those that have fellowship with us. This meeting is now officially closed. On next week, we will look at other behavior that the Most High says is not acceptable. That's persisting in believing or propagating some pernicious or false doctrine. Because there are a lot of doctrines out there, whether it's concerning salvation, whether it's concerning moral behavior, whether it's concerning who Messiah is. He says, be of one mind. And we don't want to be contrary. So we're going to go through those scriptures. We're going to go through those scriptures on next week. How we believe and what we believe and why we believe it that way. Because we know that the scriptures tell us that you can believe a lie and be damned. And I know none of us want to be damned. And we all want to get into the kingdom. And we all want to know the real basis, the beginning of all wisdom, the fear of the Most High. And without that, You can, if you don't fear him, you're subject to fall for any and everything. You're sub, really what you're subject to fall for is those things that are convenient to you and what you want to do. So if you don't want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, you will fall for those people who interpret the scriptures. You ain't got to follow it. It ain't, you ain't subject to it. All you got to do is love your brother. You can do whatever you want. So we want to make sure that we're not of the mindset that we will fall for anything. That being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I want us all to enter into the kingdom together. I want us all to be able to go before the Most High. And he says, Brother Miles, report. And I'm able to give a good report on each and every one of us. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Remember that. Don't keep your focus on me. I'm simply the messenger and the teacher. But stay focused on the Most High. Fear him. And keep his commandments. Shalom.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom, my sisters.
Without you, then.